undeserved and unending love and peace, wholeness, shalom to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom all things are made new. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is from our Old Testament reading, the very promises of God, particularly the prophet's words in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, which read, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As my family and I boarded our airplane in the early morning hours of January 4th in Omaha, Nebraska, we were longing for something new. We were ready to go home. But as we found our seats, got comfortable, and just before the plane pushed back from the gate, the captain, the pilot, made this announcement: "I'm sorry to tell you, but we've received a report of bad weather and snow in Denver, and unfortunately your flight has been canceled. Please get off the plane, go to the ticket agent who will make new travel plans for you." As my family sat there in the airport, I scrambled around looking for new options, a new flight, a new way to get to Seattle, somehow some way to get a new way home, not just stuck with this old canceled flight. Good news, I snuck downstairs to where you check in the bags. I got in line there, got new tickets to L.A., except no new tickets to Seattle. So we could go to Los Angeles, all right, but we would probably be stuck there for a day or two or maybe even three, just waiting and longing for something new, new way to get home. Oh, Canada, I thought, when will we ever see you again? And if you've heard during the week, you probably know the rest of the story. On Tuesday, finally, we found a new flight that got us to Seattle via Las Vegas, and we retrieved all of our bags, and we finally drove through Peace Arch Crossing late on Tuesday evening. And we were so thankful to see the old, familiar, and somehow new surroundings, at least new compared to our previous few weeks of where we had been. We had been to our old, new somehow, that old, familiar, and new home. And I say again, thank you to those who helped out so much last week, especially to Ewald Wischke for getting the service together, and Grace for helping when my wife Jackie was going to be teaching Sunday school, and all of our elders, especially two that helped in leading the service and preaching, Ben Mann and Ruben Elanzano. Thank you all so very much. But I'm guessing since those aren't your regular Sunday duties, you were probably hoping for someone else, someone new, to be leading the service and preaching this week. Who knows, after this Sunday, you might be hoping for the same thing next week. It's easy to long for something new. Something different, something better. You know, the latest new iPhone, or the latest in TV technology, or perhaps the hottest new cars, or the finest new kitchen and home design. And sometimes these longings can turn into desires for new friends that maybe have more connections or popularity. New parents who have more money or time for us, or who at least aren't as embarrassing as the ones we have. Or new families who know how to forgive and not hold grudges. They can turn into desires for maybe our church to be hip, attractive, and relevant, or to have new young people in here, no matter what the cost. Or maybe desires for us, for death to put an end to us or to a loved one, to put us out of our misery. Or for desire for a new wife who's younger or more attractive, or our new husband who cares for us and loves us as we deserve. And the closer we look, the closer we come to the grass on the other side of the fence that we thought was so green, we realize it isn't even grass at all. It's fake. It's not even real. And we are longing for something real just as much as we are longing for something new. Into the midst of this longing for something real, something new, the prophet Isaiah writes chapter 42 of his prophecy. He writes, into the midst of the children of Israel who have faltered, forgotten, and followed false gods all the way into exile in Babylon, modern-day Iraq, and now thousands of kilometers away from their homeland, away from their destroyed temple, away from their fields, farms, and fruitful vineyards, and seemingly an eternal distance from their Lord. They are longing for all things new. And into this reality, our Lord speaks through Isaiah in chapter 42, verse 9, saying, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." For the children of Israel, God's people, for Trinity Lutheran Church in Richmond, B.C., for you, me, and everyone, there are no greater words than these: all things new. We realize our need for new things as our relationships reel, our families flail, divorce dominates, lies separate, knees knock, ankles ache, cancer comes back, funerals are frequent, beds lie abandoned, and gravestones are grim. And into this reality, our Lord speaks through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. "Remember not the former things, nor recall the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing." Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 proclaims this promise: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." All things new. As I told the children, Martin Luther once said, "When you wash your face, remember your baptism." You know, when the Lord did that new thing, made a new life in you, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 from our epistle reading for today says it like this: "Do you not know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." All things new. A new baby. Born in Bethlehem. Hailed as the highest king of Jews and Gentiles of all people. Arrested by his adversaries. Crucified on Calvary. Buried by backroom disciples. Descended into the depths of hell. Raised again on the third day. Ascended above all and coming quickly for you, me, and all God's people. Jesus Christ, in simple water and his powerful, life-giving word, has done a very new thing, has created a new life in you through your baptism. All things made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 describes it like this for you: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." All things new. Our Lord invites you through basic bread and wanted wine to something on the outside that makes no sense. No sense. But is no less true because of his words of promise for you. In his own body and blood, in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, the forgiveness of all of your sins and your new life. Christ says in Luke 22, verse 20, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." All things new. This newness in Christ that we have received is not only a new perspective, but it is a new reality, a new song. Psalm 98, verse 1 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." And according to Revelation 5, verses 9 to 10, the new song to Christ sounds a lot like this. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." All things new. As we have heard and seen over the last month, our Lord has created and made all things new in a very unique and humble way through a new baby born named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, offering forgiveness for families, mending for marriages, rejuvenation for relationships, defeat of death, baptism into new life, and for adults, children, and babies alike who are born again of the Holy Spirit. And yet we long for that day of Christ's return, when finally all things will be made new. And as we are promised in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, "And the Lord who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.